Stress is a part of life. In fact, if you don't have any stress in your life, you're probably dead. You see, you need a certain amount of stress in your life to accomplish anything. It's stress that gives you the energy, the effort, and the ability to do things. On the other hand, too much stress is bad for you, because too much stress will cause you to explode, to pop, to fall apart, to reach your breaking point. On all of our campuses, when you came into this service today, you received a rubber band, and I want all of you to take that right now, if you would, and hold it up. Both hands here, hold it up. Now, I want you to stretch that as far as you can on all of our campuses. Stretch it as far as you can without breaking it. Now, look around at other people that are stretching theirs, and you'd say, man, some people can stretch. It's a lot farther than others. And that's because some of us can deal with more stress than others. But also, some of you have stretched it hard enough, you probably snapped it because you didn't know where your breaking point was. And you see, that's the way really all of us are. Some of us can deal with more stress than others. Some of us never know when the breaking point is going to come. Today, I want to help you get control of your stress before it reaches the breaking point and drives you over the edge. You see, the stress that you feel today is not your problem. I'll repeat that. The stress that you feel today is not your problem. My stress is not my problem. All campuses, repeat after me. My stress is not my problem. Try it again a little louder. My stress is not my problem. Stress is simply a symptom of your problem. There's a myth today, and we say, you know what? Other people cause my stress. Or the situation and circumstances I'm having to deal with cause my stress. That's a myth. The truth is, it's how you choose to respond to people and situations that creates your stress. And so today I want us to look at what causes our stress and how we can reduce our stress. And there's no better example of someone dealing with stress appropriately than Jesus Christ. When I look at his life, I'm amazed at how cool, calm, and collected he was in spite of pressure, criticism, and distractions. Think about Jesus. He rarely had any privacy. He was constantly interrupted. He was repeatedly misunderstood, ridiculed, and criticized, yet he never seemed to be in a hurry. He never retaliated. His life was an example of calm and balance. And so I want to look at the Bible and look at some things in Jesus' life that he did to become so stress resistant. So you want to reduce your stress? Number one, know who you are. This is the number one stress reducer, because unless you settle the issue of who are you, you're going to be an easy target for stress. You see, Jesus had no doubt about his identity. He knew exactly who he was. The scripture puts it this way. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He knew exactly who he was. He was the one to show the way to God. Nobody would come to God except through Jesus Christ. If you don't know who you are, other people will control your life. If you don't know who you are, other people will tell you who they think you are. If you don't know who you are, you'll let other people manipulate you into being something you're not. Because trying to be something you're not doesn't work. It is a major cause of stress. So you want to reduce your stress? Avoid copying and comparing. When we try to look like, act like, talk like somebody else, we're a copy. It's a cheap imitation of the real thing. Or comparing also gets us in trouble because we tend to compare our weaknesses with other people's strengths. And that's why you have to be careful of Facebook, because you are enjoying your life until you see what other people have, what they just bought, or what they're doing, or where they're going for vacation, and you get depressed. You say, I wish I had that. I wish I could do that. I wish we could go there. There's a new stress disorder because of Facebook. It's called FOMO, F-O-M-O, the fear of missing out. It's diagnosed today. Take medication for it. You see, as I said, we tend to compare our weaknesses with people's strengths. People rarely show you their worst on Facebook. When's the last time you saw a mother put on Facebook, "This is my son Johnny. He got last in the school track meet." You don't say that. Or when would you see a couple put a picture of themselves in a tent and they said, we didn't have enough money to go to San Diego for our family vacation, so we're enjoying a romantic weekend in our tent in the backyard. You don't see that. You got to get comfortable with who you are and what you have. Give thanks to God that He made you unique and special. Because you see, when you don't have to worry about what other people think, it reduces your stress. When you know who you are, you're no longer controlled by insecurity and doubt. I'm so thankful to my parents. They raised us a little different. My parents simply said, don't be afraid to stand alone. Be comfortable with who you are. Be willing to live to a higher standard. And because of that, it gave us great confidence in knowing who we were. Secondly, you want to reduce your stress? Know who you're trying to please. That's the second cause of stress. Because stress comes when we try to please everybody. Because about the time you keep one group happy, the other group gets upset. This group thinks you're a hero. This group thinks you're a zero. You can't please everybody. Notice how Jesus settled this issue. He said in John chapter 5, I seek not to please myself. There it is. He knew who he was trying to please, but him who sent me. In other words, Jesus said, it's not about me, it's about God. My purpose is to what? To glorify God and to seek and save the lost. He decided to live for an audience of one. He said, my focus is on pleasing God. You see, if you focus on doing what God wants, it's always the right thing, no matter what other people think. Now, a lot of students either started school last week, they're starting this week or the next week on all of our campuses, and I want to say to you, this is so important that you know who you're trying to please. You got to live to please God, because when you live to please God and you do what He wants, it's always right, whether your peer group or your friends say it's right or not. Secondly, when you live for an audience of one, it simplifies your life. You know why? You only have to focus on pleasing one person. Jesus said no one can serve two masters. The formula for failure is trying to please everybody. And one of the reasons that Jesus wasn't stressed out is because he never let the fear of rejection or the need for approval dominate and manipulate his life. You don't need the approval of everybody in order to be happy. So I want to ask you, how's your stress level? It determines this question. Whose approval means the most to you? Whose approval means the most to you? Your kids? Your parents? I mean, you can have a miserable life if you're 50 and you're still trying to please your parents. Or maybe it's your peers or your coworkers. Or maybe your approval is trying to please Jesus Christ. Who you're trying to please, whose approval that means the most to you, will determine the level of your stress. Preaching to 20,000 people on all campuses every week is both a blessing and a curse, because you have to learn how to deal with criticism as well as praise. You preach a sermon, somebody comes out and says, I don't like what you said. I didn't agree with that at all. Man, I like Todd and Mark a lot better than I do you. And I'm a rather passive, non-competitive person. And so when that happens, I want to go back the next service and take it out on the next group. You know, I'm not that spiritual. Or the flip side is, if you're not careful, you have to learn how to deal with praise, because people say, oh, I'm so glad you're back. I love your preaching. And if you're not careful, you get an inflated opinion of yourself, and that is equally damaged, because it's all about the power of the Holy Spirit. So you see, you got to preach for an audience of one, and you got to live for an audience of one. And so I want to say, as your pastor, I love you, but I'm not trying to please you. Because I can't please you. I've got all I can do to try to please God and seek His approval. Number three, you want to reduce your stress? Know what you want to accomplish. Why is that so important? Because none of us have the time to do everything that we want to do. Jesus was very clear about what He wanted to accomplish. He said, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. He knew the mission that God had given him to reach people far from God, to seek and save lost people. He had clear-cut goals for his life. Because if you don't have clear-cut goals for your life, you'll be pressured into doing what other people think is important. So what's important to you? Be successful? Have other people like you? Make a lot of money? have a lot of friends, looking young when you're still old. You see, once you set your priorities and goals, then you can deal with distractions. You can deal with discouragement. Jesus said this, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." What does that mean? Well, that means if you're plowing and you're following a plow, you better look straight ahead or you're going to get in trouble. And so he says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, you get distracted and you get totally off course and you'll never accomplish what God wants you to do. You see, there are some choices you want to make, you've got to make, if you want to be successful. Are you going to live for pressure or are you going to live for priorities? You say, what's the difference? Pressure is what other people tell you to do. Priorities is what God wants you to do. Pressure is you live for the urgent. Priorities is you live for the important. And listen carefully, with technology, it is awesome, but if we don't know how to manage technology, we will allow other people to determine what is urgent in our lives and will never accomplish the important, because every time you're trying to focus, you get a buzz, you get a text, you get something, and it immediately takes your mind off of what was important. And you say, no, but I'm a multitasker. That's a myth. The brain cannot think of two things at the same time. I struggle with one thing at the same time, all right? So be careful that you don't allow technology or other things in life to pressure you to doing the urgent instead of doing what's important. Another thing we've got to deal with is we allow the good to take priority over the best. I think this relates to a lot of us as followers of Jesus Christ. You're not out robbing banks. You're not doing things. You're not killing people. But if we're not careful, we're so consumed with doing good things that we forget the best thing. You say, what do you mean? We push our kids, we pay for things we don't have, that our kids have the best of everything so that they have that scholarship, they have great grades, they're on the best dance team, the best sports team. All of that is good. Hear what I'm saying. But if that becomes the priority of our life, you're teaching your children to go after that which is good instead of that which is best. Because as a follower of Jesus Christ, that which is best is you must teach your kids to make an eternal difference for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That means no matter what you do, the best thing is to make sure your kids know and serve Jesus Christ. Or another thing we've got to deal with is distractions versus focus. Jesus said if we get distracted, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Those are strong words. We live in a culture, we have so many things going on, it's easy to get distracted. And so don't be preoccupied so much with your career or making money or having your children or your goals or your dreams, and those are all good, but don't be so preoccupied with them that you're not investing in the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul was a man of focus. He had a lot to do, and he said, what? This one thing I do, that's focus. Forgetting what is behind, pressing towards straight as ahead, I'm going to accomplish what God wants me to do in Jesus Christ. Number four, you want to reduce stress? Know how to delegate. You see, we're under a lot of stress because we think we have to do everything ourselves. On all of our campuses, finish this sentence. If you want the job done right, you better... There it is. You better do it yourself. That is the motto of a perfectionist headed for burnout. Even Jesus didn't try to do everything by himself. He delegated his ministry to other people. Bible says in Mark chapter 3, it says simply, he appointed 12, designating, there it is, he's delegating them as apostles that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. Are you stressed out all the time? It could be because you're afraid to delegate responsibilities to other people. You're doing everything yourself. See, there's two problems if we don't delegate. One is we could be perfectionists. And we don't delegate because we say, you know what? They won't do it as good as I can. There's another issue, and that's insecurity. We say, they might do it better than I can. If you're going to be successful in life, if you're going to mature in your life, here's the growth process all of us have to go through. It starts out with we're dependent. And when you're born, you're dependent upon your parents to take care of you. And that kicks in, and about the next stage of growth from dependency is what? Independence. And that usually happens somewhere between 2 and teenager. When they say, I want to do it myself. They want to be independent. And independence is good. It's better than being dependent. but it's not the end result. And that's a struggle for a lot of us that are successful people, because we say, I'm independent, it's mine, I'll do it myself. But the real key to maturity is being interdependent. That's where you learn to be a part of a team, and you know you've got to delegate to go to the next level, because great teams beat great individual talent every time. We saw it this past year in the NBA Finals. The best team won, but the team with the best player, the Miami Heat, lost. San Antonio Spurs won. Great teams beat great individual talent. The continual growth of Christ Church the Valley is dependent upon building great teams. Why is that? Because every leader has a lid to their potential and their abilities. Don't miss that. No matter how good you are as a man or a woman in whatever you do, you have a lid on your ability to continue to grow and do better. You got to have a team. In the beginning, as Christ Church was started, I was a part of everything. For years, we didn't have any property. We set up and tear down every week. I did the counseling, the hospital calls, the weddings, funerals, preaching. And that's why most churches stop at about 200. You know why? The pastor can't delegate. He does everything. But you know what? CCV outgrew me a long time ago, because we realized if we're going to go to the next level and impact this city, we had to develop great teams. And we have some incredible volunteer teams on all of our campuses. We have a great staff team. Everywhere you look on all campuses, you will see great teams: children's teams, youth teams, greeter teams, ushers, communion preparation, those that fold programs, prayer teams, food teams, video teams, neighborhood group leader teams, parking, security, medical, music, youth sports, worship, preaching, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, CCV today is larger than it's ever been. And I can say to you, in many ways, I have less stress than I've ever had. Why? Because we've tried to build great teams. Last couple years, we've tried to build a great teaching team with Mark and Todd. They did an awesome job, because I believe that you need to hear the voice of God speak through more than one person. It's healthier. You see, the key to success is we got so many people behind the scenes that are praying and serving that nobody knows about, that are making this a great church. This week, Howard Brammer, a pastor friend of mine, was in Phoenix. He's a pastor from Indianapolis. And he was speaking to our new group of residents. And he told the story about Emily Rummel. And he painted the picture of what it would be like when all of us die and we go to heaven and we're there to receive our rewards. And he said, I want you to picture hundreds of thousands of people all gathered together for their rewards, and on the front row is the Christian heavyweights. There's Billy Graham, there's John Wesley, there's Martin Luther, there's Corey Ten Boom, there's all kinds of people, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the list goes on and on and on. And he said all of these superstar Christians are all up front, and there's hundreds of thousands of people, and Jesus enters, and everybody stands up to worship and praise Jesus. And then the Apostle Paul steps forward and says, would you all be seated? I'm here to pass out rewards to those believers that have made an incredible difference in the kingdom. And everybody's waiting. Is it Billy Graham? Is it Martin Luther? And the first person that Peter reads is Emily Hummel. And everybody says, what? Would Emily Hummel come forward? And finally, a woman in the back says, who did he say? And they said, Emily Hummel. And she said, well, I'm Emily Hummel. And Peter said, Emily Hummel, come forward. And to the amazement of everybody, an unknown person named Emily Hummel came to receive her awards. You might ask, who is Emily Hummel? Howard said he had preached in Indianapolis for 10 years. And on the last week when he retired to pass the ministry on to somebody else, he said a lady came up and shook his hand and said, I want you to know that God called me to your church 10 years ago to pray for you every day. And I prayed for you every day for 10 years that God would bless your ministry. And so you need to know that because you're resigning, I feel like my ministry's completed and I'm moving on. And he said, what's your name? And she said, my name is Emily Hummel. And Howard said, you know what? I always thought my great leadership and my great preaching was what made this church grow. But I realized that the growth was because of a lady like Emily Hummel behind the scenes I did not even know was praying for the success of our ministry every day for 10 years. And I want you to know there are many people on our campuses that I'll never get to meet all of you personally. I'll never know what you serve, the difference you're making, where you give, but I want you to know God knows. God knows your sacrifice of time, your sacrifice of money, your sacrifice of your influence. And I want to say to you, thank you from the bottom of my heart, because you are those behind-the-scenes difference makers that nobody notices that will help us reach this valley for Jesus Christ. So you want to reduce your stress? Got to know who you are. You got to know who you're trying to please. You got to know what you want to accomplish. You got to know how to delegate. And fifthly, you got to know how to recharge. Jesus said this to his disciples in Mark chapter 6. He said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Would you circle the word rest? You see, if we don't learn how to come apart and relax, we're going to come apart. Rest and margin was so important that God included it in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, the Lord said this, "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but he rested," there's that word again, "on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it," what? "He made it holy." The Sabbath was created by God to give us balance in life. We work 6 days, but we better rest and worship every seventh day. And I believe in our culture today, much of our stress comes from our inability to find time to recharge. We're constantly on the go. We're busy all the time, and too many of us as followers of Jesus Christ have made worship an option instead of a priority. Now, I know I tell you some stories about my farm life, and most of you can't relate. You've never been on a farm. But I think back about my parents and growing up on the farm. We worked 80 hours a week in 6 days. Got up every morning at 5 o'clock to milk the cows, worked all day, milked the cows at 5 o'clock, got through at 8 o'clock at night. So for 6 days, we worked from 5 in the morning till 8 at night. Worked hard. But you know what? On Sunday, we milked the cows because we had to, but that's all we did as far as work. I remember my father leaving hay in the field, and it would rain and spoil, but he said, "We will not work on Sunday. It's the Lord's day." And so the priority was an option every week, without exception. We went to church, and the afternoon was a time to sit down and relax and enjoy the family. I was thinking about that this week. I thought, isn't it amazing that people today in our culture work 40 hours a week, many of us, and we're still stressed out all the time? Why? Because I think we've made church an option instead of a priority. And yet my mom and dad taught us we could work 80 hours a week, but as long as we did what God told us to and we used that day to worship and relax, we were energized for the next day. You see, if you go to church just twice a month, you're going to get recharged every 14 days. If you go once a month, you're getting recharged every 28 days. And if that's your lifestyle, is it any wonder that you're stressed out and you're often at the breaking point? I believe more and more that consistent weekly worship allows our minds, body, soul, and spirit to recharge. That's the way God made us. Why is recharging so necessary? Because our input will match our output. If you're not bringing stuff in from Him, you got nothing to give. You can use that cell phone all day, but if you don't plug it in and recharge it for the night, for the next day's responsibilities, the power will go out. And the same way with us, if we try to run on empty all the time in our walk with the Lord and we neglect worship, we will find that we cannot accomplish what it is that God wants us to do. Jesus was able to accomplish so much and fulfill God's mission for his life in just 3 years. And one reason is because he made it a priority for rest and relaxation and worship so he could recharge. And I'm convinced that your career and my career and our life and our purpose is not more important than Jesus Christ. I don't want you to go through life living on the edge. I don't want us as followers of Jesus Christ to be so stressed out that we're constantly right to reach the breaking point. So what's the takeaway? Here's what I want you to do on all of our campuses. Identify one thing to help you reduce your stress. Now you say, what are you talking about? Look at the five things that I've talked about. And would you pick one of those that you would want to work on? If that doesn't relate to you, pick another one. But let's go back, hang with me, and I want you to write down at the end of your outline which one that you're going to try to apply to reduce your stress. Maybe the first is, do you know who you are? And you would say, you know what? My problem is I'm trying to copy everybody else. I don't realize that God made me special. Or maybe you would say, I don't know who I'm trying to please. I'm trying to please too many people instead of living for an audience of one and simplifying my life by pleasing God. Or maybe you'd say, I'm not sure what I want to accomplish. I know I want to make a difference, but I don't know how. I haven't set any goals because there's so many distractions. I don't know what's important, and I allow all the urgent things to crowd out what's most important. Or maybe you would say, I need to know how to delegate. I'm getting a lot done, but I can't keep this up because I will burn out. And so maybe you need to say, here are the two or three people I need to bring onto my team so that I can delegate and help me go to the next level. Or maybe you would say, you know what? I'm not doing a good job at recharging. I'm not a good job at making worship a priority. I'm working hard and I'm playing hard, but I'm not worshiping hard. Worship is optional. And maybe for you, what God's saying to you, if you're here for 4 weeks, worship every week, good job. You already understand the value of that. Maybe you come 3 weeks out of the month, step it up to four. Maybe you come two, make a commitment to go to three. Maybe you come one, make a commitment to go to two. Maybe you come every 3 months, make a decision to be in worship at least once a month. Make a decision to spend more time in your priority with God so that you can recharge. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, he said this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, that's us, stressed out. I will give you rest. There's that word again. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is what you'd put on oxen, and it would help two animals to share the load together. And Jesus said, if you feel stressed out and burdened, take my yoke. Let me help you and learn from me of how he dealt with stress. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you're stressed out today as a follower of Jesus Christ and you say, man, I've got a heavy load, I want you to know that's not the load that God put on you. It's a load that you've put on yourself or you've allowed other people to put that load on you. Because God's word is true. God says his load is light, it is manageable, and it's easy to handle. My prayer is that we would learn how to live the abundant life. And the only way we're going to do that is learn how to turn our stress over to Jesus before we reach the breaking point and we find ourselves going over the edge. God doesn't want us to live like that. God wants us to live in peace and victory as we put him first. Let's pray. Dear God, we acknowledge that we all have different levels of stress. But help us today to understand that our stress is not the problem. It's not other people. It's not situations that we're in. Our stress comes on how we react to the stress that we have. I pray most of all we'd get up every day and simply live to please you for an audience of one and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to make a difference to reach my neighbors, my coworkers, my family? And as we put him first, he'll minimize the stress and we'll accomplish what it is that God wants us to do. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.